Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cries the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to After Midnight. Here the mind becomes a playground, a vast universe, unique, free of the constraints born in preconceived theories, where your voice will be uncloaked. I am Pam Ray, and with me now I have Neutron. Neutron and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. Now, if you find that this show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure to check out the poetry anthologies we have on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Neutron.
Hey, hey.
How's it going?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I had a bit of an afternoon nap before I started, or a rest rather, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I got to have a little bit of that caffeine boost or whatever it is that gives you a boost.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we did have our Ken on the line, but he dropped. I know sometimes people who call in through the link, because they're from other countries, from overseas, oftentimes have technical issues. But hopefully he'll be able to call back and join us. And we might even have Stelina joining us. I see we have Naomi. Yes. I see we have Naomi and Weaver on the board. So very cool there. And and of course, I would like to take this time to give a shout out to our dear friend Rex, sending him prayers and healing vibes and love and all that good stuff, hoping he feels better soon and we can get that golden voice and smart brain of his back.
Hell yeah. Ditto.
Exactly. Well, we got a nice full board tonight. We got about approximately 7 carryovers from a couple other shows. And then we go into our main theme after that. So why don't we go ahead and get the ball rolling? So what do we got first, Neutron?
So we have, I was just checking, there's no SoundCloud, a poem by Poetic Creations. Did you want me to give this one a read? Give you a bit of a break?
Go for it. You can go for it. Yep.
All right. So it's called Caramel-Coated Big Apple. Threshold of steel, MIG-welded gondola, vertical stern, staircase entangled, lattice framework, artist-engraved bars, wrapping up high with no bow tie. Blocks reminiscent of black razor wire, above the blocks that make a city, stone pillars, fine marble walls, bricks, laid by hands bleeding in the rain, spun and twisted like a web of deceit, hiding the enthralling, unabashedly hidden for no reason other than to hide, purple curtains shiver, mocking me. As though fireplace mantles new fire, not just fire, but coursing magma, and pyroclastic flows entombing all like Pompeii knelt down to none. Bridges spanned like my lingual wire, behind teeth that no longer belong to this mouth of mine, but the dump somewhere between, never been. And I ain't looking to go there at all, kind of like jail. Yet I'm looking out between the bars that restrain all of us, protected by and restrained by, imprisoned for my own protection. This giant steel and glass tree that swings and sways in a breeze, elegant like stockings and heels. A model of feminine architecture that's more than a tad bit wild, decadent like an apple tree plenty, full of fruit and smiles yet to be. Spherical mirrored structure. Seen, it's a park mirroring buildings, pedestrians and blue Land Rovers, as though they knew sadness. The tree with its tentacles reaching long after it fell to the wind. It's a sprawling testament to nature, worn bark around the trunk. gradually succumbing to friction from jeans barely clinging to the legs of a tall, scraggly boy in a big hurry to be a man, who now, as a big man, is cowering, looking down between bars through clouds to the streets below, spinning for damp, aged eyes. End of poem.
Great read there, Neutron. And I thought this was just an amazing write by Poetic Creations. First of all, I like the play on words in his title, Caramel Coated Big Apple. This is from the contest, from the photography of Bernice Abbott. And she took a lot of pictures of big cities like New York and Chicago. And so, you know, the Caramel Coated Big Apple kind of speaks on seeing the sweeter side of a New York City. I love the imagery and metaphors in this all the way through. It's amazing. I like how, to me, it kind of speaks on the idea of the hope of youth that becomes the imprisonment of adulthood. I like how he brings in the tree reaching, and I particularly also like a model of feminine architecture that's more than a tad bit wild, decadent, like an apple tree plenty full of fruit and smiles yet to be, gradually succumb to friction from jeans barely clinging to the legs of a tall, scraggly boy in a big hurry to be a man, you know. And I like how he speaks on the idea of feminine architecture, because it's interesting how some buildings have a very masculine look and some have very feminine, but definitely an idea to me of someone coming into adulthood and just kind of being swallowed up from, you know, behind those bars. And I don't see the bars as necessarily literal, but more of a metaphorical or figurative bar. Even, you know, though obviously in the picture you can see bars over the window, I think it works well as a metaphor for how in adulthood we become kind of trapped within routine of life. So excellent write and very well done. And Neutron, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Man, I'm glad you commented first. this was a brilliant poem. I like the caramel-coated big apple because it almost leans, for me, towards the gentrification of the globe, really, all the major big cities. Once upon a time, they were filled with migrant workers, and these migrant workers have been slowly pushed out to make way for people further up the totem pole, so to speak. I was drawn to this section here. Bridges spanned like my lingual wire behind teeth that no longer belong to this mouth of mine, but the dump somewhere between never been. And I ain't looking to go there at all, kind of like jail, yet I'm looking out between the bars that restrain all of us, protected by and restrained by imprisoned for my own protection. It's almost got this confessional vibe to it, but then in between it as well, it's highly ecstatic from the image that I've seen. And it's almost what they call it is cladding or facade cladding. And I think that's what the picture is peering through into the city, which makes it look like bars. And I think you're right about the feminine and the masculine energy of these buildings, and you almost get that feminine vibe from the curves of the facade cladding. And that section that you mentioned there was really quite good. And finally, I agree with that. You almost get this clumsy adolescence in that penultimate stanza. And then you finish with, who now is a big man is cowering, looking down between bars through clouds to the streets below, spinning for damp aged eyes. It was just a really great juxtaposition in those two last.
Oh, absolutely. And really great observations there. Thank you. And all right. So what do we have next?
Okay, so up next we have Weaver of Dreams. There may be a SoundCloud. Yes, there is. And it's old and new.
All right. So let's see. I'll find that, and here we go.
Hi there. What? Oh, good morning. You start with me, sir. I wanted you to say I'm sorry for all the dust and hammering over the past few months. It could not be helped, I suppose, but verily, I am glad it has ceased. I have had very few guests recently. The dust and chaos were off-putting. I can imagine that would be so. I'm very pleased with the results. I've been called a work of modern architectural art by the New York Times. Really? Although I concede you are modern, I feel your sharp angles and many windows are a mite crass. Although I could never be as blunt to a lady, I find your overly generous curves to be a bit vulgar. I see we must agree to disagree, sir. I heartily concur, lady.
Bravo there, Weaver. Oh, my goodness, that was awesome. Great read and write. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Neutron, your thoughts on Weaver's poem.
Yeah, look, I really enjoyed the conversational tone and the coy humor throughout. And just on a personal note, I think post-COVID Sydney has just gone into like this residential construction boom. I know this was relevant to the tower in the picture. Sorry, my geography, it looks familiar, but I can't place the name of it. But yes, it does get a bit chaotic at times. There's no parking, dust, noise, and I just really like the blunt humour. Although I could never be as blunt to a lady, I find your overly generous curves to be a bit vulgar. I see we must agree to disagree, sir. Very well done. And it's very unusual to have somebody submit a conversation is the poem, so it's a breath of fresh air as well.
Oh, I have to agree with you. Yes, and for her to pull it off with the read, you know, alternating the tone of her voice, I thought was really, really great. And yes, definitely a breath of fresh air. I found this wonderfully entertaining. It did make me smile because of the humor. And I like that she personified, you know, at least this is how I interpret that, she personified the two buildings and that these two buildings are having this conversation between each other. You know, just really great humor all the way through. And I did like that same part that you liked. I also really like, I can imagine that would be still, I'm very pleased with the results. I've been called a work of modern architectural art by the New York Times. You know, I really like the personality that came through in that one. So great right there, Weaver, and very well done. All right. And what do we got next?
Okay, so I'm going to get you to read Thomas B's poem, Sweat Finds You.
All right. Sweat Finds You by Thomas B. The stars flicker on a cold night, bend moonlight into dreams, where lovers reach for a magical weave beneath shadows and leaves, the ache of wanting something more than another broom sweeping a floor. Every glorious moment a chance to reach for heavens, yet to be explored. Be something, be someone, a name with a claim to fame, a breathless rush up, an endless flight of stairs to an apex. Stars are for the plucking. You reach up, swipe your brow. Life humbles us, and our laundry reflects every imperfection we would forget. Broadway billboards flash your name. but in the morning the collar displays a lipstick stain, an odor of sweat from passion remains. How quickly life claims us and dims bright lights from a dream to a cause for sweat to remain a stain as all the glitter swirls and goes down the drain. End poem. Absolutely an amazing write by Thomas B. And your thoughts, Neutron?
Yeah, the last stanza there was just fantastic. I find it very difficult to rhyme. He's done an internal rhyme, then he's in parts of it he's done a rhyming scheme, and then in other parts it appears to be free verse. But the flow remains. It's superb. I think I was drawn to this section here. Every glorious moment to reach for heavens yet to be explored, be something, be someone, a name with a claim to fame, a breathless rush up an endless flight of stairs to an apex where stars are for the plucking. And it's almost a metaphor for the buildings being so high that they touch the sky. And I really enjoy the stature, I suppose, of the building and how it's been conveyed in metaphor. Very well done.
Absolutely, you're right. You're right. The stature of the building does convey a great metaphor. So excellent observation. Yeah, I really liked this one. A wonderful imagery and metaphors. Another thing I agree with you with is even though he alternated, you know, rhyme scheme, a free verse, and just, you know, didn't have necessarily consistency with that, it still stuck with a certain flow to it. I really like how this speaks on having those dreams of glory and fame that all become flushed down the drain by the ugliness of reality. But there's something else that I think this speaks to me on. It actually kind of reminds me, especially in the first, you know, like three or so stanzas. And, you know, it makes me think of the idea of the Tower of Babel and people who were building the Tower of Babel so that they could get to heaven. And then, you know, that it fell down. And there's this almost this idea to me of a modern day Tower of Babel in a metaphorical way on how we try to reach that high point in our life. And then it just all comes crashing down. Amazing, right? And very well done. And what do we got next, Neutron?
Oh, I did post it. I've just got to get back to it one moment.
Sorry.
Here it is. So it's a poem. That's all right. It's a poem by Daniel Deschino. And I'm just double checking that it's on the SoundCloud. No, I'll give this one a read. So it's called Inferno Revisited, Part 2 of Inferno. Who is more fit to walk through the fires of hell than those who have lived it? Perhaps that's why I was chosen. Earth in life. A moment lost in flight, at one with the everything, God, the universe, when understanding the presence I am in, what can I possibly do? No words or judgment, the knowing. And each instant is eternity, and each thought is a question to where all timelines of history merge. And I find myself a strangely familiar human form back in the deepest depths of hell, the massive fields of ice, and poison dagger, arctic winds, all around an amphitheater that dizzies the mind with size and distance. I stand again next to Satan himself, still buried halfway in the ice. So immense is he to have his head obscured by limiting vision. The once surprisingly kind to me master of evil just raised his hand to point to the top of the immense bowl. What can I do but comply in the presence of the powers that are directing me? Before my first step, I remembered what I hated so much about hell. You can't die. Through frozen wasteland I trudged. The unfathomable pain was the easy part of what I had to witness that I couldn't take. So I concentrated with everything I had on the pain. Seemingly endless humans buried at different degrees in the ice. I knew the ice itself would not freeze me. But if I looked at the faces from that, I would be paralyzed. I went on losing myself in a world of pondering until eventually in no time in all time the ice ended. Was I deceitful and treacherous, abandoning those I passed? I was only doing what I was told, what I thought was right. I wondered if that's how the frozen felt. The earth, or whatever I was now traversing, a maze of agony, pulsating ditches, interesting how at the circle of the fraudulent and untrustworthy, I came to decide to lie to myself and believe I don't somehow belong on every layer. How else would I make it? Self-denial spreads as an airborne infection. So as I climb, I try to control the parts of me that's human, but the part trying to control me is the most human of all. So violent thoughts vacillate ferociously outwards from my heart. I could attack these demons torturing souls. They can't kill me, so I can fight forever. But I just stay hidden in a cloak of thought and leave the violence behind. And what kind of God creates a torturous playground like this, whose criminals are only guilty of being themselves a creation of God? My thoughts attract the local demons, so I bury them deep and move on. And there is no worse torture than the uninterrupted thoughts of the guilty and the regretful. But still I walk and disappear in my mind. Everything I've taken when living seems to be fighting for space dominance in memories, cluttered shelves in the homes where I once lived. All the times I ate and ate, even when I was not hungry, and then walked by the homeless that I somehow failed to see. And with the most unexplainable shame of collapse from my own sexuality, I fall further into despair and self-loathing. I wonder why I was given desire only to be ashamed of it. There is no time in hell, but all time is there. And at some point, I reach a flat and featureless plane. This is where I started so long ago, lost, empty, a seemingly emotionless void just existing. I was one of them. Seems like there's more now. Who do I pick to rescue? Is one human more deserving than another? The oldest unanswered question, perhaps. So a woman, the closest of the lost souls to me, a soul is a soul. I explain the message I've traveled so far to deliver. I know the way out, but it is not easy. Do you feel you are ready? I won't know unless I have the faith to try, she replied. How did she know the answer I needed? And we headed down. The others will have to wait until I return again. My apparent fate, until it is not. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Neutron. Yeah, I have to say I was really impressed with this write. It was from the Solace of Shadows, where the topic had been the Dante's Inferno and the nine levels of hell. And I just thought this was an amazing story, right? But, you know, it had a great philosophical vibe to it. I like how it spoke on the journey of a man going through hell who is trying so hard to ignore the suffering that's going on around him and how he's trying to shut himself off to it and then, you know, realizes he can't, that his consciousness won't allow him to do that. And I also liked how it spoke on the idea of helping one person at a time, especially in that end line. But philosophical thoughts put here on the idea of judgment and religion, and some, you know, really great points brought up. Like, I like where he said, In hell there is no time, and yet it holds all time. I also really like where he said, let's see, here we go, I found it. And with the most unexplainable shame of collapse from my own sexuality, I fall further into despair and self-loathing. I wonder why I was given desire only to be ashamed of it. And I like that brings up a really good point. Like, why are we given, you know, sexual desire only to be oftentimes treated by organized religion to be ashamed of it. I also really like, my thoughts attract the local demons, so I bury them deep and move on. And there's no worse torture than the uninterrupted thoughts of the guilty and the regretful. But still, I walk and disappear in my mind. Wonderful lines on the idea of trying to escape, but having the consequences of that, trying to escape just in and falling apart. But there's such a sense of strength within the end lines of realizing that you need to help people, that you should help people, but it's oftentimes needs to be done in only just one person at a time. So excellent write and very well done. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, so for me, I was really drawn to that. The sexuality line that you were talking about there, like I've experienced it personally. I've also experienced it with friends and family and whatnot. And I think a lot of it does come down to what you're taught through organized religion at such a young age. When you at least I grew up in the Catholic system, so you were confirmed and had to confess your sins before you actually attended high school. And I just, I don't know, that original sin is kind of, and the guilt complex is kind of inbuilt by the time you get to an age where you're just discovering yourself and discovering your place in the world, and that includes the concept of desire. Then it reminded me of the schemas that we pick up as children and adolescents. And I really enjoyed the part where you were talking about the need to help people, but the need to help one person at a time. It reminds me of when you get on the plane and they're doing the prelude to the flight, and they say put your face mask on first before you put on one on your children or your whomever you're with that needs help putting their mask on. And it's quite apt, and I think it's a very philosophical take on Dante, and particularly that hell is a personal hell, so everyone's hell is likely to be different. And I don't know whether this was intentional or not, but the saying, when hell freezes over, well, hell in this instance had frozen over. And although it was a very dark rite, it ends with the notion of hope. And finally, I would just say that, like, I feel personally my mantra is to help other people. And it's not wholeheartedly an altruistic endeavor, because for every good deed you do, you get I don't know if you call it a karmic payback in the system, but you get feel good chemicals that are released in your body by helping others. So I just thought it was a really interesting take on the Dante prompt, dark but not without hope.
Absolutely, which is a good reflection of the book, because you know, the book itself is dark, obviously, especially the, and I shouldn't, well, I don't know if you count it as a book. I think it's actually counted as an epic poem, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The Divine Comedy, and then the Dante's Inferno being the I think first or middle, but anyways, yeah, because it does end with them, you know, moving past hell. So I think that's, yeah, great observations there. I really like what you had to say about, you know, the airplane and, you know, put it on your mask. And that idea is represented here very well. The idea of first you must help yourself in order to help others. So great observation.
Thank you.
And absolutely. And what do we have next?
Okay, so I'm going to get you to read My Angels 3 poem.
All right. Live your life without the fear of death by My Angel 3. The world is draped in fog beyond which life continues in its dauntless, heartless way. The sun and the moon still show up for the parade, shadows lengthening to spiky blades, breath, boast, and other little chests. The traffic flows like blood through boulevards and highways as though they do not know they did not receive the memo to pause in respect of this pain, this loss. And time stands still. And time still grinds sand from rock. Life quietly, incrementally submits to death. End poem. And your thoughts, Neutron?
Wow, that last stanza and the one before were just perfect metaphors. And it's captured the ekphraxis of the image there. But then I'll just read it. The traffic flows like blood through boulevards and highways, as though they do not know, they did not receive the memo to pause in respect of this pain, this loss. It's immense. And then you go on to, and then time still grinds sand from rock, life quietly, incrementally submits to death. And it reminds me of the principle that we are dying incrementally from the moment we are born. And also the principle of, are you living or are you just surviving? And I think it's very easy to get caught up in the big smoke, so to speak, of a world that is draped in fog, the first line of the poem. And it's very easy to get caught up in the daily grind and to forget what your purpose is in life. So I just, a very philosophical write in my eyes. Very well done.
It truly is, yes. Yes, I have to say. It was interesting how we had a lot of great quality, right? I had a lot of great quality writes in this contest. I think people really saw beyond the photography and into the heart of the pictures and the philosophy in the pictures. I like the way she kind of shapes her stanzas with a certain floatiness to them. A wonderful brevity on the idea of the inevitability of death. And the idea of living life to the fullest. I really particularly liked the sun and the moon still show up for the parade, shadows lengthening to spiky blades, breaths boast in other little chests. Wonderful lines that really create a sense of movement in the big city and very well done. All right, and what do we got next?
Okay, so just some business behind the scenes. I think Akana and Selena can't get through on the link, so I'm going to stay till the end.
You don't have to do that. Well, I just know your appointment's really important, so what we'll do wrap up the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
I can stay for till the hour and a half mark at least, so that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
good.
Yeah. So next we've got Daniel Duhame, and I'll give this one a read. And it's called What Lies in Hell. Smoke rises like a deep fog coming from fissures inside the eternal fires as ashes of charcoal-laden air that draws away the breath around you. Deep in the recess of torment, cries of blood, curling agony echoes in hell, descend the initiate into a state of terror over their fate. A dark gloom surrounds the cave of lost hope with lack from soot, where a sky should be apparent is only darkness. Creatures of undescribable horror roam around, given the untimely task of causing pain to those unfortunates who ended up cast to damnation. No earthly good could save them from their fate. Only an act of contrition holds them to the shackles of torment, prisoner to the demon's whim. No prayer of forgiveness can release the victims who lie in the confines of hell, for it is their fate to burn without mercy. Forked tails, fallen angels, take pleasure from tormenting the souls caught in the limbo of despair, finding new ways of torture that they inflict with devilish delight, with a cold, hard laughter. Demons are covered in the bodies of stillborns because they were born without a soul, fodder to be corrupted by evil's lust. Flesh is slowly torn from the body and eaten with vigor, then replaced to repeat the cycle of torment. By dark beings with long spikes upon their backs who drink the blood of victims, as if it's like some fabled drink of restorative powers. End poem.
Great read there, Neutron, and a wonderful write by Daniel Duhaime. I have to say, I always appreciate his support and his, how involved he is in writing for the shows. And there we go. Sorry, just had to send out a couple of invites. I like the straightforward style in this. It has a very epic feel to it. I feel like it, and also a classic feel. Like, I feel like, to me, it takes us into the classic horror genre of what you imagine hell to be, you know, based on your most vivid imagination. Just vivid and visceral imagery that really takes us to the deepest, darkest pits of hell, where the demons reside. I really like the imagery, and demons are covered in the bodies of stillborns because they were born without a soul, fodder to be corrupted by evil's lust, which I think is also just an extremely sad thought, but, you know, also very dark, visceral imagery. And also, flesh is slowly torn from the body and eaten with vigor, then replaced to repeat the cycle of torment. And I felt like replaced to repeat the cycle of torment made a really great point, because a lot of times when you read stories or books or poems about hell, including Dante's Inferno, there's two things that you will notice is oftentimes the punishment fits the crime, and other times the other thing that I've noticed anyways is that oftentimes punishments are repetitively done over and over again for obviously eternity. So just amazing dark write and very well done. And your thoughts, Neutron?
Yeah, like I definitely was getting a gothic poetry vibe to the right. And I think it's because it was done to the Dante Inferno theme. And there's certainly some shock value in there. And it almost reminds me, okay, this is going to be a little off field or off topic, but there was this movie called Little Nicky by Adam Sandler, and there's also a series called Lucifer that's on Netflix at the moment. And they brought up this idea that torture is a personal thing. So everybody's torture or idea of torture is going to be different. And there was one scene where somebody had a pineapple inserted up their rectum, and that was going to be their torture for the rest of the day. So I'm getting hellish vibes from this, right? So I just thought I'd add a bit of comedy in there, but I was particularly impressed with the section at the end there. Flesh is slowly torn from the body and eaten with vigor, then replaced to repeat the cycle of torment. And I think what you said, Pam, about torment being a cycle and also that it's ongoing was very apt from all of the Old Testament vibe stuff I was privy to as a teen. So well done to Daniel Duhaime.
Absolutely. Definitely an extremely dark Old Testament vibe for sure. But a great comment. Yes, I've seen Little Nicky, and I've seen which is a funny movie, and I binge watched Lucifer, a great show. And I would like to welcome Arcana to the show. Welcome, Arcana. Glad you could join us.
Hello.
How's it going?
Can you hear
me? I can't hear him.
Yes, yes. We can hear you. Can you hear us?
I've got an echo. I'm not getting a clear reception, I'm afraid, and I'm having real difficulty connecting to the show.
Oh, Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, if you want to hang up and try again, you're more than welcome to. I don't know why it's not working. Did you try the new link I just sent you? All right. Well, sorry it's not working out there, but thank you for trying.
Listen, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to try reconnecting. Give me a moment or two. I'm here. I'm trying to get into it, okay?
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right, Neutron, what do you have for us next?
So we've got Betty Page up, and did you want to give this one a read, Pam, or do you want me to read while you sort out the links in the background?
Well, I don't really have anything I can do in the background because, you know, I've already...
It either works or doesn't.
I've already sent them both the same invites to the same emails like twice today. So I feel like if it's not working, it's out of my hands. Like it's a blog talk. I blame the gremlins.
They got fed after midnight, unfortunately. But yeah, Pam, if you want to read Betty Page's poem, that would be great.
All right. And up next, I'm so used to staying on the show. Up next we have, all right, so this is Remain Calm by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Remain calm no matter what. Replace all negative thoughts. Speak only good to yourself. Only you control your mind. Watch what you say, what you'll do. This is the key to success. When your heart breaks, pick it up. Keep pursuing every dream. Sure, a battle. Vicious fight. Most just decide to cave in. I say resist those feelings. Get back up. Keep on swinging. Stay focused on all your goals. Only recipe to win. Stay self-controlled at all times. React intelligently. End poem. And this is actually a write from the contest I just ran this week, which was a very simple one, but people were really drawn to it, which is always a good thing. And that is, it's control. And basically what I did is I just put up a bunch of different quotes on the idea of control, such as self-control or, you know, not allowing other people to control you or just told people, you know, either choose one of the prompts or write on the theme of control. So that's, and like I said, great responses. And your thoughts, Neutron?
Yeah, I'd say it's accessible. And I think that's really important at times. I have trouble with accessibility, with my word choices and whatnot. But then, like, I think it also points to the ideas or the principles of manifesting something in your life. And you can choose to manifest either good or bad, and you can choose to feed the dark or you can choose to feed the light. And I think it's got a sage wisdom, particularly in that last stanza, stay focused on all your goals. Only recipe to win. Stay self-controlled at all times. React intelligently. And I must say, like, this this resonates personally with me, because before I started writing, I was an angsty person, to put it gently. And I think realistically, you have to react intelligently, because you just don't know how the other person you pick a fight with is going to react. And it may not be intelligently. They could knock your socks off. So very well done.
Absolutely, yes. I have to agree with you. And I still, after years of writing, can still at times be an angsty person. I definitely found this one also relatable. A great idea on the thought, a great write on the thought of self-control. And I really like how her end line is react intelligently. You know, don't react based on emotion. And, you know, if you need to take a step back from a situation, you know, but I also like, though, how this third stanza speaks on the idea of you know, like, you know, fighting against those strong urges, those feelings. Sure, a battle, vicious fight, most just decide to cave in. I say resist those feelings, get back up, keep on swinging. You know, the idea of, you know, don't let your count yourself down and out. So an excellent write and very well done. And what do we got next?
Okay, we've got I'm a rhymer cyber junkie. I'll give this one a read. It's called, man, I just did the same thing you did. I like, my brain is like out of control today. It's called Cyber Junkie. Addicted to the internet, a disorder tagged IAD. Doctors call it a real health threat. An online test diagnosed me, a web head so hooked on online that if a brain scan scanned my brain, atrophied parts would be the sign. From internet, I should abstain. But how to stop this self-abuse? The chatter says there's help for it, to find a way for controlled use in just times and places, legit. I must find out if this is true. I'll surf the web until I do. End poem.
Great read there. And I would like to welcome Stelina to the show. Welcome, Stelina.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Neutron. I think Arcane is still having problems trying to get to connect. So I'll stay as long as I can, but if I disappear, don't worry.
All right. Well, glad you can make it through.
I'm trying.
And very cool. Very cool. And thank you. All right. Well, what did you think? Did you get a chance to read the poem Cyber Junkie by Ima Rima?
Hang on. I'm just having a look which one it was. Yes, I did. I thought this was quite witty, you know, and as always, his rhyming is great, and the flow of the poem is always great with Ima Rima. He had some really good lines, you know, like addicted to the internet, a disorder tagged IAD. Doctors call it a real threat. An online test diagnosed me. That was really a witty stanza. I always enjoy his little rhymes, you know, and well done. Well done for this. Yeah, exactly. And it does touch on something that, you know, is relevant today. We're all a little bit sort of over-eager on the internet. So he really hits on the theme well, too. So well done, Rhymer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I think he does a wonderful job with his sonnets that he writes. Great, as you said, great rhyme and flow. I like the humor in this, especially with the end couplet. I must find out if this is true. I'll surf the web until I do. And it's that so fits well with the idea that oftentimes we will have a question or we'll have a theory, and it seems so oftentimes people will search the internet until they find something that says, yes, you're right, even though there could be 20 other pages that say, no, you're wrong. Exactly. So excellent write and very well done. And Neutron, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I love the humor throughout. It reminds me of, and I'm sure like everyone with kids has the same issue, but my nephew, left to his own devices, would watch YouTube and play PlayStation for the rest of his life in the absence of employment. He thought that was a really great idea at one point, that he was going to be unemployed and play a PlayStation. So I think it is a real thing. I know, right? I'm like, that's a great thing to aspire to, man. Keep on it. So I really like the last two lines as well. I must find out if it's true. I'll surf the web until I do. And it just hits home that there's a word for it when you it's like doom scrolling, but it's for the internet with like online health information. And it is a quagmire, and I think you're right there, Pam. Like, you could be told you're wrong a number of times and still find somebody that agrees with you, probably with the likes of Wikipedia. And then you also have the situation where you've diagnosed you on your butt, for example. You know, like, it's crazy. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
It really is. It really is. Absolutely, yes. And I have three out of my four kids all at one time or another wanted to be YouTubers. I think my 14-year-old still does. She hasn't quite grown out of that phase. So
God help her.
Yeah.
That's the new thing. That's what they all want to be, is a social media influencer.
Exactly. All right. And great comments, everybody. And what do we got next?
Okay, so we've got a SoundCloud for Eric Svensson. What comes around needn't go around.
All right. And here we go.
What comes around needn't go around. Between the quiet and the storm abides the inner I norm. It's each individual's call. The minor fall, the major lift. Or the major fall, the minor lift. Between the quiet and the storm abides inner I soul speak. Free will chooses to get off blame's treadmill, for what comes around needn't go around. Between the quiet and the storm, vertical lightning conductors abides. Spirit adheres to higher ideals, unlike horizontal hours, linear life days. What comes around needn't go around. Proactive tracts of fecund, fertile soil. Endless acres of golden barley sheaves harvested. Reactive desert when coyote, jackal, and hyena howl, slobber, scowl. Best for foul nuclear missile testing. Between the quiet and the storm, duality tends to upset the apple cart. Love, hate, life, death, have nots. Attitude or aptitude reset. What comes around needn't go around. For heaven's sake, hamsters, get off tiresome treadmills, please. End poem.
Great read and write, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Neutron, your thoughts.
Yes, yeah, so like initially I was drawn to, where was it, the minor four, the major lift, or the major four, the minor lift. And it reminds me of a line from Alleluia by Jeff Buckley. And, you know, like whether you're on the way to something good or if you're about to come crashing down. And then this section here, between the quiet and the storm abides inner eye, soul speak. Free will chooses to get off blame's treadmill. What comes around needn't go around. So it's almost points to the fact that those that have had it harder, and I know this from personal experience and the experience of my friends and family, when shit goes down, you do tend to have a moment of infarction, like a mental infarction, but then you generally tend to build more resilient. But it's whether you get on blame's treadmill or not. I'll leave it there.
I like that thought, the idea of, you know, during the more difficult times or difficult lives, you know, building up more resilience. And yes, that is, those are lines from the song Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley or Leonard Cohen, depending on which, you know, which version you think of. Eric is really good at throwing in those kind of cultural or, you know, type references to music and art and other such, you know, parts of life. So, great comment. And Selena, your thoughts?
Well, as always, you know, Eric has crafted a really expert piece. I mean, as you said, his you know, his use of connection to art and music, he always finds a connection somewhere. What I like about his poem regarding the technique is the repetition of the lines, you know, the anaphoric technique, because this really brings the rhyme and flow of the right to the fore. And apart from that, you know, it emphasizes the central theme of the whole piece. And I mean, what I get from it, what I interpret it really as is, you know, sort of references to the kind of the warmongery, which is very prolific in the world today. I think, you know, he can really get to the theme in his own special way, you know. And even though sometimes I have to read his pieces a few times, to be honest, you know, you can see the skill within his writing, and it's very enjoyable. And also he's very clear with his SoundClouds, so he puts feeling into them, you know. But I think it's a wonderful piece. Yes, well done, Eric. Very well done.
Absolutely, I have to agree. And yes, you're right. The repetition does work well and add to the flow. So, great observations. All right.
Sorry, Pam. Arcane is still trying to get through. He needs having real problems. So, but
yeah,
he's still trying.
Yeah, he did message me, and so I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, Neutron, and what do we have next?
All right, so I'm heading off after this one, so I'll give this one a read, and then this is by A.G. Pagwukan. I hope I said that right. So it's Steadfast Amidst the Storm. Amidst the tumultuous churning sea, a sturdy vessel pressed on with resolute decree. Its captain, seasoned and sighed, guided through the tempest's wrathful tide. With unyielding discipline and unwavering strength, the crew battled fiercely, unbroken in their length, their goal fixed firm and unquenchable light, defying the storm's blinding all-consuming might. And thus we too must steer our ship with skill through life's tumultuous waters with an unwavering will, self-control our anchor firm and true as we navigate towards our goals steadfast and anew. End poem.
Great read, Neutron. And Stelina, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I love the analogy, you know, of the tempestuous sea that AG has provided us with. It really brings such wonderful imagery to the piece, and it also offers him a great opportunity to use, you know, wonderful vocabulary like tumultuous and churning, and these really add to the you know, the pleasure of listening to this piece or reading this piece. I really enjoyed this. I love sea poems anyway, and so the, you know, the added analogy that he's put in here has really made it a very enjoyable read for me. I also liked his rhyming couplets, which were very, very well done. So a very well penned piece, AJ. Really well done on this. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Neutron, did you want to make a comment before heading out?
Hell yeah. I really enjoyed the classic nature of this. Like, it's you've got the rhyming scheme, AABB, from what I can... Yeah, I got to the second stanza before I realized it was AABB. And then there's almost an arc. So you go from, with unyielding discipline and unwavering strength, the crew battled fiercely, unbroken in their length, and the continuation of that stanza. And then it brings it in the arc back to the protagonist's life. And it's also asking the audience to steer their own ship with skill. And that life is not going to be straightforward. It's not a straight line, generally speaking, for most people. There's pitfalls, there's hills, there's mountains. And it's almost a call to action with unwavering will, with your self-control as anchor to be firm and true. So I think, you know, that's effectively, it's very accessible language. It's a very sensible lesson. And all one can hope to do is learn from others' lessons a bit more than learning them yourself. So I think it's a very well done poem.
You know what? I have to agree. Absolutely. Wonderful comments. And thank you, Neutron, for calling in as long as you could. And I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Pam. And thanks, Selena, for jumping on the board as well.
It's my pleasure, love.
All right, I'm over and out.
I need a lounge. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. And I'll go ahead and... grab the next right and all right, let's see what we have up next. All right, up next we have, I'll get back to Late Night Poets, and Oh But I Do by Sam Sampson. And Stelina, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Okay, so this is Oh But I Do by Sam Sampson. And the quote that he wrote to is, I'm not looking for self-control. Here we go. I have been pushed to the limit one too many times. Let it go, they say. Is it really that big a deal, they say? Why worry over it if you have no control, so they say. Oh, but I do, my sweet, I do. I have total control over how I shall respond. What I lack is a need for self-control, much like the Joker to Batman. I have been aggrieved, and much like Jack, my persona screams for vengeance, and I will have it. End poem.
Great read there, Selena. And yeah, that was a great ending. I love the reference. You got a big smile and out of the reference to Joker's Batman and the Jack Nicholson character. So very cool there. Very cool. I pretty much think that if you make reference to the Joker from Batman and the actor you bring up is Jack Nicholson, you've pretty much told everybody your age, or at least approximate age. So,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah. I would do the same thing. If somebody asks me, you know, like, says, name somebody who played the Joker, I'd instantly go, oh, Jack Nicholson.
No, you see, for me, it's Heath Ledger all the time. But I remember Jack's performance.
He was actually the original, like not the original, like not the TV series original, but you know, like when
I'm sad to say I remember that as well.
But the one that came out, I think, like in the early to mid 90s or something like that. But
I spoke over you. I'm sorry. Carry on.
No problem. I was gonna say, I really thought this was an excellent write on the idea of realizing there are things that you can't control and there are things that you can, and one of the things you can is how you react to it. But excellent brevity with great bit of dark twisted humor at the end, and very well done. And Stelina, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Pretty much the same as what you've just said, really, the Batman Joker analogy. And, you know, the out of control darkness that comes through so well. You know, it's not a long piece, but it's quite an effective little piece, and very nicely composed. I enjoyed this read very much. Yeah. Well done.
Absolutely. And I would like to welcome Arcana to the show, and hopefully he can do it all right.
Finally.
Can you
Hello,
hear
Arcana.
Me?
We
yes.
can hear you.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you, but I'm in no man's land. I'm trying to catch up with where we're at.
Well, join the club. We're all with that.
We just got done reading Oh But I Do by Sam Sampson. But what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll catch a comment from you on the rest of the poems. So that way you don't have to try to find Sam's poem.
Bless you. Cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah, well, and thank you for being here. Thank you to both of you. It's great for you to have you both here.
Sorry it's taken me so long to get in here.
Took me a while.
Oh my
as well.
The gremlins have just been horrible tonight. You know?
Yeah, and we didn't get the other emails either, Pam, so I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. It might have been because I had already sent them to you once. Maybe they're like, no, you can't send it to the same person twice.
Yeah,
so,
they're being mean.
All right. Well, up next we have Never Ending Dark Thoughts Lead to Bad Reactions by Jenny Hunt, 2017. And we do have a recording for that. So here we go.
Never Ending Dark Thoughts Lead to Bad Reactions. Never Ending Overthinking. Palms are sweaty. My head is swelling. Negative affirmations are my mind's cataclysm. The deeper my thoughts, the more I dwell. The more I dwell, the more I resent. The more I resent, the more I break down and cry. Losing all of my ambitions, I can't deny. How do I end this never-ending cycle? Nothing's working. I don't want them to see me like this. I can't do this anymore. Self-control is diminishing. Can no longer react like they want. Waves crashing on my sands of time. Nothing but burnt driftwood on the mine shore. Only thing left is agonizing fear. Fear leads to doubt. Doubt causes paranoia. The cycle never ends. Too angry to care. Too tired to feel. Conflicted on what to do. So, for now, I'll just sit and stare into the azure abyss, fighting freakishly foul, misleading reactions. End poem.
Great read and write, Jenny. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Arcana, let's start with your thoughts.
I found this a really intriguing read. It kind of reads to me like somebody who is in a space where they don't know what to write. Their mind is kind of in a quagmire of where do I go from here? They're exploring their thoughts, trying to think of something that's going to give them inspiration, as we all do in times when we're struggling. And they find it difficult to find a way to express how they're feeling. And that they are reaching out within themselves to express that inner exasperation, to be able to express how they're feeling, what they want to write about. And to me, that's how it comes across. I may be wrong, but that's how it comes across to me. And I think it's very well expressed. I can relate to it in so many different levels. And I think it was excellently done. Very well done, Jenny.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. And yes, I think that many can relate to this who have dealt with dark thoughts or depression. And deal with it and trying to learn from the experience through writing. So excellent observations. And Stelina, your thoughts?
Well, you both said exactly what I thought about this. I thought it was a very relatable piece. And, it speaks to all of us on how sometimes we have to really struggle to combat our anger and frustration, you know, in dire times that we go through. So it's a remarkable piece in that way. What I really found very expertly done here was the imagery. She used some wonderful imagery, and for example, this stanza I especially like: waves crashing on my sands of time, nothing but burnt driftwood on the mine shore, only thing left is agonizing fear. I love that, burnt driftwood on the mine shore. That's a really great line, one I wish I could have penned myself, to be honest. So yeah, Jenny did a wonderful job here. Her SoundCloud is a little bit low. I couldn't hear her very well, but I know that she reads very well too. So well done, Jenny. A very enjoyable piece. Yeah,
absolutely. It really was. And great comment there, Stelina. Yeah, Jenny does have one of those just adorable, soft, sweet voices.
Yeah.
I too kind of strained to hear it, but it is beautiful. So
yeah, I just turned up the volume really, but
yeah. Well, yeah, and that's what I do too, is I just turn up the volume. So
yeah.
Yep.
She does have a nice, soft, soothing voice, so yeah. She does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great comments. All right. And let's see. Up next, we have Controlled Thoughts by Weaver of Dreams. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So let me find that. And here we go.
I thought the connection we had transcended words, although I sensed that wasn't going to be enough. Did you want the cliched rings, the vows of love? That would mean my usual easy egress would be denied me. Not long ago, your love warmed my body and mind. We cleaved together, twigs on a branch intertwined, growing towards the light, unconcerned by darkness. Then there was a shift. The dead arose to haunt my waking hours again. I thought them buried deep enough to rot in hell, never to arise. Yet from first to last, in the order of their demise, they crawled forth. I thought you must see them, or hear the wretched cries, which smell the rotting flesh falling from their bones. I then discovered, though real to me, no one else was aware of this horror show. Try as I might, I could not erase nor atone for my previous sins. I could never be at peace, as the need to inflict pain remained, caged. I had questioned my own sanity. Now I took control. I threw myself pell-mell into this, my new life. Meanwhile, I had to hope that my thoughts projected into the ether might be heard, so that the locks on this cage always remained closed.
Great read and write, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And she wrote to the quote, "Self-control is solely a matter of thought control," by Napoleon Hill. And Selena, your thoughts?
What I really like about Katie's poems is that they're just so natural, you know, like it's not like she's writing. It's like she's just talking to someone and explaining her thoughts and her feelings, you know. And it's very nice because you can connect to that on a personal level. I think she did a great take on the prompt, and I really like the tone of the piece with the inner voice speaking, you know, whilst no one else is aware of this person's deep, dark thoughts, which are actually plaguing them. So I think she did a really fine job with the prompt. And, her read too was very clear and well done. I enjoyed these very much.
Absolutely. And I like what you had to say about how Weaver oftentimes writes in such a way that it's like she's bringing you along on the journey of her thoughts with her.
She does.
So
Exactly.
So, yes, definitely. Great comment. And Arcana, your thoughts?
I really felt this piece, that the way that Katie worded this was very, very deep, and it spoke to me of somebody who was embarking on an adventure in love where the outcome was uncertain, and though the initial hopes were high and hopeful, there was a return to some familiar uncertainty and a disappointment that was felt deeply within the words and expressed in a way that it was almost like a submission to what had always happened in the past, a deep sadness and a real, how can I put it, a real despair. And I really felt it. It almost brought a tear to my eye, to be honest. I thought it was brilliantly written. And I think Katie is an excellent poet. And bless her for expressing her soul upon these words. It was an excellent write. Very well done. Very well read. And well said.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wonderful comment there. And I have to agree. There's a powerful emotional impact to this poem, speaking on, you know, the hope of once having love and then losing it. And also, I think it kind of speaks on the idea of struggling with your own personal demons as you deal with that disappointment and that anger and that sadness. So excellent write, Kate, and very well done. All right, and let's see what we have next. All right, and up next we have Beyond the Clouds by Dammit Dave. And Arcana, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Just give me a moment. In life, fate gives you the things you can't control. It doesn't mean you have to get upset. To keep your head in chaos, is the goal. Don't ever let your haters see you sweat. It's true that life can be a bitter pill. When unexpected issues should arise, that's when you need the cunning and the will to look beyond the clouds to see the skies. Reaction to a problem is the key. Remember that the cooler heads prevails. Life never offers happiness for free. That only happens in the fairy tales. Not everything is gonna go your way. Bad days are gonna come, and that's a fact. But you don't have to be misfortune's prey for your control, the way that you react. End poem.
Great read, Arcana, and what a wonderful write by Dammit Dave. Dave is, as we all know, just an amazing poet, especially when it comes to metered rhyme. And I really like his take on the prompt, I don't control life, but I can control how I react to it. There's so much great words of wisdom here all the way through. But it's definitely the last two stanzas that really spoke to me, especially these lines. Life never offers happiness for free. That only happens in the fairy tales. Not everything is going to go your way. Bad days are going to come, and that's a fact. But you don't have to be misfortune's prey for your control, for you control the way you react. Great reminder of the fact that life, you know, definitely is not going to always go our way, but we have to brace ourselves and just, you know, find the, not react in a way that shows that we've lost control. So excellent write and very well done. And Stelina, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, we can always rely on Dave for, you know, great rhyme and flow. And, you know, he always has a lot of wit in his poetry and also a lot of logic and reason. You know, they're very, yeah, I can't think of the word, a poet that can't think of a word. This is good, isn't it? You know, there's always a wisdom to them. There's always a wisdom to Dave's rights. And, you know, I agree with you. That final stanza really says it all. You know, we're in control of our emotions, our reactions. And I think he took a very thoughtful look at this prompt. you know, and I think it was a very nicely penned poem. He did an excellent job with it. So, you know, well done. Damn it, Dave, as Katie says, you did it again.
so true.
She's
yes,
so
definitely.
I'll say for her.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, wit and wisdom. He definitely does offer
yeah.
both those up. Great
he
comment.
Does, yeah.
And Arcana, your thoughts?
You know, Dave, I'm truly sorry, my friend, that I wasn't able to totally digest your poem before reading it in order to give it the due respect and cadence that it deserved. I am reading off the bat, as it were, and I think that your poetry is absolutely amazing. You have such a way of expressing yourself within your words that is truly brilliant. The way I can so relate to everything that you've said here, reaction to a problem is the key. Remember that the cooler head prevails. Life never offers happiness for free. That only happens in the fairy tales. Not everything is going to go your way. Bad days are going to come, and that's a fact. But you don't have to be misfortune's prey, for you control the way that you react. You take what you're given. You deal with each comment and each review as it is given by the person who writes it to you. You may agree, you may not agree, but at the end of the day, you deal with it and you move on and you express how you feel about it. And that's the most important thing of all, to actually tell people how you feel. And I think you've done this brilliantly. Well done, Dave. Kudos to you, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. All right. And up next, we have Take Back Your Control by Teresa Streshenkoff. And it goes like this. Controlled by my innermost private thought, take a hold of my daily routine. I used to get up all chipper and bright, but these thoughts that are traveling through my mind, they show up without any warning. Sleepless nights, brain will not slow down. All these words just keep going round and around. No peaceful nights, sleep to be found, until you stand up one day and tell those words to go away, ignore them and beat those thoughts into submission. And poem. I like the attitude in those end lines, the, you know, show the thoughts who's boss type word line. Arcana, your thoughts.
Okay. Again, I think this is a very intimate expression of how one feels about how they write their poetry. They're telling how they feel, how their innermost thoughts affect how they write, how when they actually write, they're expressing their expressions in a bright and cheerful way, laying their heart on their sleeve, as it were. The way that it's interpreted may not be the same way, but they accept it, they take it, they deal with it, they move on. No peaceful night's sleep to be found until you stand up one day and tell those words to go away or ignore them and beat those thoughts into submission. That's not admitting defeat in whatever is said against one's poetry. It's accepting it, taking it, moving on and moving away and moving forwards. And bless them. I totally agree with everything that they've said. Fair play to them. Teresa, Excellent poem. I completely commend you. Well done.
Absolutely. And I like how you spoke on the idea of moving forward, accepting and moving forward. So great comment. And Stelina, your thoughts?
First of all, it was a great read, Pam. And I can really, when I read this, I read through all the poems earlier today, and when I read through this, it's something I can really relate to, this not being able to sleep, you know, and thoughts going round and round in your head, and then you feel like your mind's going to explode. But what I liked about it was, I love how she ended the piece, you know, with this idea of the courage and the strength to move forward, and that line, beat those thoughts into submission, you know, a strong attitude, and I love this. I think this is a wonderful brevity. I really liked this part in particular. They show up without any warning, sleepless nights, brain will not slow down. All these words just keep going round and around. No peaceful night's sleep to be found. I think the structure of the poem is very good. The flow of the poem, it's a very nice poem to read aloud. I read it aloud, and it's very pleasant on the ear. So I think she did an excellent job. So well done, Teresa. Very well done. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, I have to agree with you. I too really liked that part that spoke on the second stanza that says, they show up without any warning, sleepless nights, brain will not slow down. I like how that speaks on the idea how oftentimes, you know, negative thoughts and words just come out of left field. Like, you just don't know quite where they arrived from, but they just like bombard you. So excellent, excellent writing, very well done. All right, and let's see what we got next. Yeah, we had some, for this contest, we had some really great quality responses to the prompts and the topic. So I'm very impressed. All right, and up next we have, all right, I'm not 100% sure about this word, but I will say
incommode.
Ah, there you go. Well, good thing you're reading this poem, Stelina. It's by Jim Bellamy, and go ahead, Stelina.
Right, Incommode by Jim Bellamy. When once a rill raises swards, then hill as owl for lords and ladies, leap beds, fens are peed from cocks and calves, and my river smells of snowed sylvan will controlled head stars. And a medley of miners' heels, cozy green seas of mealy steel lockets of lashing leaves, and I am a bad controller's wheel, and God's grip grassy sea seeds, slathering sown incommodes. Where once a fast mouth leads, drowning fast men with veins, then fishmen feed fat-flashed wedlakers, and my controller's heart has dead wind, and my chainer heart controls red sins. Lo, amen. Oh.
Yeah.
Great. I know. Jim Bellamy is quite a character when it comes to surreal rights, I tell you. I almost always assign his readings to Rex. I think you did a wonderful job.
To replace Rexy.
There you go. But yeah, as always, you know, he's got wonderful surrealistic type imagery. great wordplay. Oftentimes within his writing, there's a kind of a sense of the interplay between, to me anyways, of sexuality and religion. I really particularly like how he uses alliteration, and my favorite stanza is this: "And a medley of miners' heels, cozy green seas of mealy steel, lockets of lashing leaves. I am a bad controller's wheel, and God's grip grassy sea slathering sown." You know, a wonderful, wonderful line. That to me brings up the question, who truly is in control of our life? Like the idea of the question of, you know, free will and divine will. So wonderful, thought-provoking, right, and very well done. And Arcana, your thoughts?
There is an abstract undertone to this poem that is deeply within the thoughts of the person who wrote it and open to interpretation to the person who reads it. I think that there are some fabulous lines in there. I think that also it is very, very profound, and it is very open to interpretation as to how you want to interpret it. I think that the person, Jim, who wrote it is a very talented poet, and I really enjoyed the read and the write. It is not an easy poem to interpret, but I think that it is nonetheless very, very well written, very well expressed, and I think it would take many reads to really read into what he is actually saying within his words, and I wouldn't wish to undermine it by trying to make a quick comment on what he has said here, because I think that it actually should receive much further readings to really interpret it, what his words actually mean. And I think it's very, very good. I enjoyed it. Suffice to say, it is a very well-written poem. Well done, Jim. Great poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. Being in the abstract nature, it is very open to interpretation, and definitely a poem that needs to be delved into more than once. But that's truly one of the things I like about abstract poetry is, you know, and I know for on shows, like a lot of people get nervous or, you know, and aren't comfortable commenting on abstract poetry. But my thought is if a person's going to write surrealism or they're going to write abstract and they're going to put it on a show and not call in themselves to offer up an explanation, then they're going to get my thoughts on the poem. So, you know, but I do like that. I do. I really like that abstract poetry is oftentimes open to interpretation. And most people, I believe, truly accept and embrace that idea. So, and Stelina, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I tried my best. Thank you. Well, you know, I must admit, Jim himself refers to his poetry as psychedelic, and he's not kidding, is he? You know, his poetry always reminds me of a piece of abstract art, you know? 2,000 p piece and see something different. You know, and I think Jim's poetry is like this. You know, irrespective of that, you have to admit that he has a skill and a style to his poetry that's unique. We may not always understand where he's coming from, but it's like I always say about Eric, you know, his train goes on a track somewhere that we might not always follow, but we always enjoy the ride. And, you know, you know, in Jim's poem, for example, in this poetry, he's got really a bevy of great alliteration here. And some lines, I think, that would... That it reminded me a lot of Edward Lear's poetry, you know, the... Not because it's a nonsensical piece. I mean, it has deep meaning, obviously, but the style of the write, you know. And as Arcana said, you know, a very intriguing read for sure. Very unique. And I really enjoyed reading it, to tell you the truth. So, well done, Jim.
Great comments, Delina. Great comments.
Thank you.
I totally
agree. Thank you, dear. We usually do. on most things, let's put it that way.
Oh, too funny. I think that's how most friendships go, though. So it
yep.
works out well. And, yeah,
we
great
try
comments.
We work
and...
at it.
All right. Well, up next, we have Lesson Learned by Joe Braz. And Arcana, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
Sure. Give me a mo. Okay. So shaky. Control, self-control. Self-control. I can't pull it together. I self-control, but roll with the punch bowls of those showing cracks in their cakes. Layered attacks of my broke back while worldwide collapse in a vape and smoke. That rose up rape to outlaw their takers. Cross-cut paper shredder, the makeup call but one butter, toasts or another, that is not self-control at all. Stop playing with dime store motions. Lawn mower potions. A dose of self-control, man. On dry land, displaced by losers, their plans of controlling others have bruised ideas as they leave us just snatched back. See and learn. They spy to earn. The self-absorbed balloon head, but lie in dread. So you can't see the inner he that lurks behind, around the signs. And sounds crept up for you and us to find. Sail on through the stellar sky. Fly as you fall, others high. Float or sink or swim or drown, that part or art or downtown. Left off dropped for controlled burn, yup, straight up, lesson learned. End poem.
Bravo, Arcana, wonderful read there. And I'm always impressed with Joe Braz's poetry. I think it has such a unique, wonderful flow to it. And Stelina, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Joe Braz enters quite a few contests, and he always, you know, enters with a wonderful piece. And he also takes, you know, your comments and whatever you give him. With great grace, you know, he's a very, very nice person. And he writes wonderful abstract poetry. Again, abstract poetry, as Arcana said before, something very personal to the poet, and we can only interpret what the way we think. You know, I think he has a very unusual and interesting style of expression, but his poetry really does need several reads to really get to grips with it. It's a very enjoyable poem, and what I got from it was, you know, that the fact that how self-control, as hard as you try, can always be disrupted by the influence of others, and you either go with that influence or you stay strong and keep your own self-control. This little piece here, I self-control but roll with the punch bowls of those going cracked in their cakes. I also like there is like a rhyme internally there with control, roll, bowl, and it's quite effective. So I enjoyed this poem very much, and I enjoyed your read, Arcana. It was very, very well done. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Great comment there. And your thoughts, Arcana?
I totally respect when somebody has the ability to be able to express themselves in a way that sort of tells how they feel, and they don't really care about how others see it. They know what's in their heart. They express it within their words, as this person has, so eloquently. And I love the words that they've used here. See and learn, they spy to earn, the self-absorbed balloon head, but lie in dread. So you can't see the inner he that lurks behind around the signs, and sounds crept up and crept for you and us to find. There is something that he's expressing here that is for us all to search and try to interpret it in our own way. And you know what? That's the fantastic thing about poetry. It gives everybody the ability to look into what somebody has said and interpret it in their own way, in a way that they personally can relate to. Whether it be the way that the person has written it and the way that they expressed it, or the way that they have related to it, doesn't matter. The fact remains that it is there, and it is there for all to see and interpret in their own way. And I think it is absolutely brilliant. Well done, well said, and fair play. Great poem.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree with you. Wonderful comments. Yeah, I really liked the imagery and metaphors in this. I got a big kick out of that line, the self-absorbed balloon head. I feel like self-absorbed balloon head makes a great description for pretty much any politician, in my opinion. You know.
Well said.
I think it's probably be too complimentary, to tell you the truth.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I like how this speaks on the idea of control, particularly self-control, and the realization of what things you have to let go of and what things you can hold on to. I did also really like the dime store motions, lawnmower potions, a dose of self-control man on dry land displaced by losers, their plans of controlling others have bruised ideas. You know, it's that idea of, you know, just always having to be in control of other people's lives, when really what you ought to be doing, to me anyways, is, you know, worrying about your own. So just definitely a right. And on a technical level, great rhyme and flow and great use of alliteration. So just an amazing write and very well done. And you know, I don't think I'm going to try to push out, you know, another write, because then we have to hurry through the comments and you know how that goes. So the few that we have carry over, I'm going to bring to Break On Through, which will be Friday's After Midnight show. And we will read them on there and discuss them on there. So I would like to say I have had a lot of fun tonight. It's been a great show. Thank you, Neutron and Selena and Arcana, for calling in. Thank you to Hats and Jenny for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And like I said, I truly appreciate you both. I mean, I really appreciate that you two just kept trying to call and we were able to finally make it through. We didn't let those gremlins take control, and that's what matters. And of course, make sure to check out all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night, Pam. Good night, Arcana.
Thank you for the honor of including me in your show tonight. And it's been an absolute pleasure. And I wish good night to you and Selena and to everybody who's been involved. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
God bless you all.
Good night. Good night.